Welcome to Daily Scripture. Today's reading is Acts 3 and 4, and both complete chapters are included in this podcast. The episode notes include a same translation starting link for reading along. One public healing leads to witness, opposition, prayer, and a shared life shaped by grace. Acts 3 and 4 follow Pentecost and remain in Jerusalem. Peter and John go to the temple at the hour of prayer. The healing there leads to Peter's public speech, arrest, a council hearing, the believer's prayer, and a closing picture of their shared life. Hear now Acts 3 and 4, complete and uninterrupted, from the Berean Standard Bible.
One afternoon, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those entering the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked directly at him, as did John. "Look at us," said Peter. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Taking him by the right hand, Peter helped him up, and at once the man's feet and ankles were made strong. He sprang to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and leaping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man clung to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and ran to them in the walkway called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw this, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why are you surprised by this? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over and rejected him before Pilate, even though he had decided to release him. You rejected the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know has been made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given him this complete healing in your presence. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but in this way God has fulfilled what he foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn back, so that your sins may be wiped away, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ, who has been appointed for you. Heaven must take him in until the time comes for the restoration of all things, which God announced long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You must listen to him in everything he tells you. Everyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people.' Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have proclaimed these days. And you are sons of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers, when he said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring all the families of the earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, greatly disturbed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in custody until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem, along with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and many others from the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought in and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being examined today about a kind service to a man who was lame, to determine how he was healed, then let this be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. This Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation exists in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they marveled and took note that these men had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing there with them, they had nothing to say in response. So they ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin and then confer together. "What shall we do with these men?" they asked. "It is clear to everyone living in Jerusalem that a remarkable miracle has occurred through them, and we cannot deny it. But to keep this message from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than God, for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not find a way to punish them, because all the people were glorifying God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John returned to their own people and reported everything that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When the believers heard this, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. In fact, this is the very city where Herod and Pontius Pilate conspired with the Gentiles and the people of Israel against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They carried out what your hand and will had decided beforehand would happen. And now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with complete boldness as you stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they had prayed, their meeting place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The multitude of believers was one in heart and soul. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they owned. With great power, the apostles continued to give their testimony about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. There were no needy ones among them, because those who owned lands or houses would sell their property, bring the proceeds from the sales, and lay them at the apostles' feet for distribution to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet.
That was Acts 3 and 4. A man unable to walk from birth expects money at the temple gate. Instead, Peter commands him to rise in Jesus Christ's name. The man stands, walks, and praises God in public. Then, Peter refuses the crowd's admiration. This did not come from the apostles' own power or devotion. The God of Israel glorified Jesus, the holy and righteous one whom people rejected, and brought him back from death. The healing is a real sign for this man, not a technique that guarantees the same outcome for every disabled person. Peter uses the sign to call his healers toward the risen Jesus, repentance, forgiveness, and the restoration God has promised. The leaders arrest Peter and John because they are teaching resurrection through Jesus. Yet the healed man stands beside them, visible evidence the council cannot erase. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, Peter again names Jesus, crucified by people, raised by God, rejected by builders, and established as the cornerstone. Salvation is found in him alone. His name is not a verbal charm. It identifies the living Savior in whom God has acted. When the council orders silence, Peter and John refuse that specific command to suppress truthful witness. This scene does not grant careless defiance of every authority. It shows witnesses remaining faithful to their direct testimony about Jesus. Released from the council, Peter and John return to the believers. The community turns first to God. They address the sovereign Lord and Creator, then use Psalm 2 to name the opposition gathered against Jesus. Human hostility remains guilty, but it does not overturn God's purpose in the cross. They do not ask for revenge or immunity. They ask God to notice the threats, give his servants boldness, and extend his healing hand through Jesus' name. God answers through the Holy Spirit, and they continue to speak his word with courage. The final scene joins resurrection testimony with shared life. God's great grace rests on the community. Believers hold possessions with open hands so that real needs can be met. Luke does not make forced dispossession a condition of grace. He shows grace loosening ownership for the sake of another person. Barnabas gives the summary of faith by selling a field and placing the proceeds at the apostles' feet. Public witness to the risen Jesus and concrete care in ordinary community belong together. Receive the good news before measuring your response. People rejected and crucified Jesus. God raised Jesus and made the rejected stone the cornerstone. Salvation rests in Him. The Holy Spirit gives courage, and great grace forms a generous people. Begin there. Then speak about Jesus without self-display in one fitting conversation, and make one resource available to meet a concrete need. If truth-telling involves danger or abuse, seek wise help and safety rather than treating harm as a test of faith. Father, You raised Your Son Jesus and made the rejected stone the cornerstone. Thank You that salvation, courage, and generosity begin with Your grace. Keep us from taking credit for what belongs to You. Give us truthful courage without recklessness, compassion without coercion, and open hands toward real need. By Your Holy Spirit, let our words and possessions bear witness to Your saving work in Jesus. Amen. Today's scripture reading was from the Berean Standard Bible. The Berean Standard Bible text is dedicated to the public domain. A same translation starting link for reading Acts 3 and continuing into Acts 4 is included with this episode. The study companion uses the NLT Reading Edition as its controlling interpretive source. This audio narration was generated using AI voices from the reviewed episode transcript.